Thief Evan Byron have an experienced team dedicated to delivering you their daily catch-up. With Upside Realty, you get an experienced agent, all marketing, online listing, and organised inspections for one flat fee. Visit upside.com.au. Thief Evan Byron.
1019, The Fox.
We know this next guest. You got Thief Evan Byron, by the way. We know this next guest from so many. Sorry to interrupt your chat off air, guys.
Sorry, guys.
But we know him from so many shows off the telly. You've got City Homicide, The Bill, X Factor, Dancing with the Stars. I mean, it's just, he's done everything. Strike Back premieres Sunday, Feb 4, 8:30 p.m. on Foxtel's Showcase. That's his latest project.
Oh, no, he's back in the country, Dan McPherson. Such a treat.
Good morning, guys. It's so good to be here. Hey, how are you?
It's good.
It's funny, not many people remember that first X Factor that I did about 10 years ago. No one talks about that.
You're right. Yeah. I do, you know, only just when Byron came
That one really sucked.
I'll say there's a reason for that, Dan.
I didn't even say The Bill. Sorry, I should focus on the...
On the drama.
Yeah, on the drama.
No, ma'am. Dan, and not only that, you've got this incredible back catalogue of great UK and Australian productions, and now, and Strike Back...
Yeah.
You are on fire, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Oh, thank you very much. No, it's really nice to be back in Melbourne. I came down last night and had a bit of a night out and caught up with everybody at the Mercedes Me event last night.
Yep.
Where I saw you on the red carpet. We had a bit of a laugh while you were trying to avoid the cameras.
Well, do you know why, though? Because I said this to Dan. I said, I actually came in late going, I'm not doing the red carpet. I tried to avoid the red carpet, and as we did it, because I knew exactly what would happen, which is what's happened today in the Daily Mail, Dan. I get stitched up constantly.
No. What?
Yeah, well, oh, they've just done a story going, oh, you know.
Have you been linked romantically?
You and I.
Well, yeah, they've said, where's my boyfriend?
Hey, I'll take it. I mean, my wife is very understanding.
He's busy at the moment.
She said to say hello, actually.
Also, to make it more awkward, you're also mates with Thief's actual boyfriend.
Yes.
Have you also not been invited to their house for dinner? Because Bev and I, we haven't got a look in.
I know Richo, and in our entire sort of working relationship, I'd never been invited to his house at all.
Okay, good. That makes us feel better.
Yeah,
okay.
There you go.
He's a wonderful human being.
That's why we're well suited. We're very similar. Not really on the social scene.
Now, let's quickly get back to the show.
Yes.
Thank you, Feb.
Feb's doing segues these days. This is amazing.
Feb keeps us focused.
Well, it's why we're really good at our job. Now, Middle East, I love watching your Instagram. You're either eating really healthy, you're riding up hills, everything I'm not. Yeah. But you're in our middle of our winter, you're sitting in Budapest and you've got got the whole camouflage on. How hot is it?
Amazing. No, actually, yes, we started... We shot Strike Back for 6 months this year all around the world. It's an American-UK co-production airing here on Foxtel, but we started in Amman, Jordan in March for 6 weeks. We did 3 weeks of training with the Jordanian Special Forces, then we started filming in the desert. Then we went to Budapest, then we finished up filming a speedboat chase in Croatia, and then we finished up doing posts in London. But Budapest was actually super hot. Like, it's just a landlocked landmass. In the centre of Europe, it was 40-something degrees. There was no wind. And you're running around, blowing up cars, jumping out of helicopters.
It actually
full
sounds
rig,
amazing.
Full kit. It was so cool. And look, for me, I like getting down and dirty. I'm a sweater. I'm a sweater, you know. And so you're covered in dirt. You're covered in blood. You're jumping out of... Like I said, helicopters. We blew up a car a day for a week in our last week in Budapest, and then we finished off in Croatia blowing up boats. And
it's
ridiculous.
That is the best gig for you, being so outdoorsy and so physical, and then you've got this great trip, the job traveling the world.
It's been amazing. It's been such a huge year, and it's a great show. The first five episodes have aired in the UK already.
Yeah,
and it airs in the US and here in February, early February. But it was it was huge. It's great.
Now, don't want you to feel threatened, Dan. But you know how you and
we've all
and
got
many
something
people,
in common.
No, but you, people fell in love with you originally when you were on Neighbours.
Yeah.
And you are now in a studio with two other Neighbours actors. Well, one actor and one cameo.
Hey, whoa.
I mean, and Fev, you know, he loves your job and he's been watching you and stalking you, as you know, and he might come for you. Would you, Dan, like to hear Fev's debut acting on Neighbours?
I'd be honoured.
Okay, I was about to say we're in a hurry.
The fact that you said I was on Neighbours, Dan nearly fell off his chair.
I know. It was in a scene with me, so you get a little sample of both of us.
Yeah. I know you've got other media commitments.
No, don't worry. I can't miss this.
This is the shortest role in the history of Neighbours. Here we go. This is... And Brooke Butler, played by Fifi, also features in this one. Let's have a listen.
You and Dad are doing a really good job at this co-parenting thing.
Oh, I'm glad you think that. Because on that note, while you're here...
Did you really have to wax everything?
Think of how aerodynamic you'll be on the footy field.
exit stage.
Now, I like it.
Now, Dan, that took all bloody day.
Welcome to my world.
And just a quick one. I know we both are lovers of sport, and you missed out on the Sharkies. You're over in Chicago winning the grand final, but you've ticked off something on my bucket list. You were in...
went to Anfield as soon as we wrapped. Yeah, Warren Brown made the lead in strike back, another mad Liverpool fan. And so as soon as we wrapped, we went back to London for some posts and some press. And we had a Saturday off. It was the Burnley-Liverpool game. Oh, we jumped on a train for the day. Liverpool fan through and through, like my entire life. First time I've been to Anfield.
You'll never walk alone.
It was like, it was incredible.
I was at the MCG, Byron, and I saw Dan out one night, and I was like, come here, look at this.
He had a headlock on his phone. Now, who knows what he's showing me on his phone? Let's be honest.
Dan, thanks so much. We love when you join us. Strike Back premieres Sunday, Feb 4th, and you've seen how much effort has gone into this. You've got to watch this. 8:30 p.m. Foxtel's showcase. We'll be watching. Thanks for joining us, Dan McPherson.
Always a pleasure, guys. See you soon.
Fifi, Feb and Byron.
And something else that gets up and about this time of year is Christmas. Well done. Perfect. That was right on cue. This time of year, you get all your Christmas, you get your decorations, and you deck the house out so it's all Christmassy. But there's one thing that we all love is the calendars with the chocolate in it.
Advent calendars.
Yes, the advent calendars. From 1 to 24, you peel it off and then all of a sudden it's Christmas Day and you go, oh, there's the chocolate. So I got the kids one each and I got it about a week ago because you just get them, you get them in preparation. And about 4 hours in, I said to the kids, make sure you don't eat any of that chocolate. They were gone.
What, all 24
all
days?
25 days were gone. Okay. So 50 chocolates have been eaten.
I don't know anyone, including myself, who's ever waited for the 25 days to be up.
Well, that's a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're the tiniest, man. They're morsels of chocolate.
Yeah, they're little chocolate.
It's like having an M&M a day. Well, that's almost cruel for children.
Buy a block. Buy a Dairy Milk. See through the advent.
I know, but there's something about when you just unlock and you have that little bit of chocolate and you're like, I mean, in a few hours it's going to be the 6th, so I might as well have the next one. And then once you've broken it, you can't
stop. This is how it started, Boxy. Both Lenny and Lulu were born on the 21st, so they went to 21 first.
That's
my birthday. And then Lenny goes, well, I'm 11, I'll have 11.
Doesn't
and then
work
Lulu
like
goes,
that.
I'm 7, I'll have 7. I said, well, I'm 36, there's no bloody chocolate with 36. You can't eat all the chocolates.
Well said.
And then now they got none. But I did go to Big W yesterday and buy another two, but it starts tomorrow. And I said, you can only have one chocolate. And they're like, yes, Dad, I will. I only have one chocolate. Yeah, because you've already eaten 50.
Fifi, Feb and Byron.
Yeah, guys. Last night there was a big function on in Melbourne. Oh, I didn't get invited, but it was for Mercedes-Benz Australia. But one Fifi Box went, and a good mate of mine, Anthony Kalia, was also there because he's an ambassador of Mornington Mercedes on Brighton Mercedes. So
I was hanging out with Jeff and Leanne from Mercedes-Benz Brighton. We were having a great night with the perks.
Yeah, I didn't get a gig, but that's fine. But I did get a text message off Anthony, and he had taken a picture of one Fifi Box standing there while the ceremony was on. There was someone up on the dais having a little bit of a chat.
Oh, no.
Dan McPherson, actually.
Oh, really?
Was it Dan McPherson?
He was hosting it.
And the picture showed Boxy with no shoes on.
Oh, come on. It's not the Melbourne Cup. What are
you
doing?
What? I've got to say.
Hillgate.
You know this about me, both of you. I don't go out during the week. I find it very difficult to do this job, waking up at 4 a.m. and being a mother, a really present mother, and going out at night. So I don't usually do it. Now, I have not been socialising for so long that after about 20 minutes in high heels, I realised, guys, I'm not match fit. I can't do this at the moment. Whatever's happened to my feet, they're not copying it. So there was this long, really engaging, entertaining presentation. And I decided I'm in the midst of a crowd. It was sort of like shoulder to shoulder. No one's going to notice. I took my shoes off. I mean, admittedly, the person behind me would have realised they could suddenly see the stage because I went down to becoming, you know, like a little Oompa Loompa. I was just like,
come on, you're not a dad. Don't be like that.
And but I did. I stood there and I thought, I know, and I'm going to get photographed because there's photographers in the room and there's all these famous people and it probably isn't a cool look. But guess what? My feet are sore. I can't be. I'm just taking my shoes off. And I in 13:10:60 because the boys are looking at me like that's inappropriate and it's classless. But 13:10:60, this is heel hell, guys. You don't understand it. And if anyone else, any other girls listening, have had a heel incident, because this, you either wear, like the pair of shoes I wore last night, were crippling me. I couldn't even walk, even walking out. I kid you not, it was downstairs at this great Mercedes. It's called Me, and it's this great venue in the city. And I was downstairs, and I said to one of the girls I was standing with, are there lifts here? Because the idea of walking up the stairs in my shoes, I got home, drove into the garage, took the shoes off, threw them in the bin. I didn't even. Jeez. I'm not even going to take them to an op shop because I'm like, no one else should ever wear their shoes again. They're
hell
horrible.
On earth. All right.
And you, I watched over the Spring Carnival and Maya, the marquee.
Yes.
Because everyone, when you walk out, you're always carrying your wife or your partner's shoes because the heels. A long day at the races.
Oh, it's horrible.
They were giving away sandals.
Yeah, I know.
That's smart.
Everyone should do that.
It's so good. Usually I carry these little things. They're like footsies. They're tiny ballet flats, and you fold them up in your handbag. But I didn't have them last night. So I am proud to say, and I know it's you know, not classy behaviour, I walked around a function last night in stockings and no shoes, and I walked home.
Obviously, we respect that. There were photographers there, though, and we have posted the picture on our Instagram, just so people can get a sense of the hell.
Yeah, it's heel hell. Girls, you know what I'm talking about. 13, 10, 60, share your pain.
We'll take your calls next.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
I got busted last night. I was at a function for Mercedes-Benz, a big restaurant, cafe, lifestyle shop that's in the city. And Anthony Kalia was there, your mate and my mate, Fev. He took a photo of me because during the ceremony, I took my heels off and I just stood in my stockings. And you know what? As I did it, I thought, I know this is not classy behaviour, but I'm in so much pain. And sometimes I think this is like torture from the Middle Ages that we wear heels that literally kill us. Mm. So I've opened the phones for heel hell because I think that boys, you're probably looking at me like I'm a wuss and just stay classy, keep your shoes on. But Brenna in Langwarrin, hi Brenna.
Hi Faith, how are you?
Good. Brenna, do you feel my pain? Have you been in heel hell?
I have. Yeah, and I've had permanent damage from a pair of high heels.
What happened?
Well, I borrowed shoes for a work function and it just turns out my feet didn't agree with this particular pair of shoes.
And what was the damage?
And, it was tendon damage in the ball of my foot, and it took about a year to heal.
Wow, a year to heal. Very scratchy line, but a year to heal from the damage done.
That does not surprise me.
Well, when you got a size 6 and you get a size 4...
And you cram your foot in.
Maybe it doesn't fit.
Oh, man. I was standing there last night going, where are the exits and how am I going to get to my car? Because I can't walk. It's scary.
When
you
were walking
hell.
Around, they were going, who invited the little kid?
I know. I need heels. Ellie in Noble Park. Hi, Ellie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Ellie, we're talking heel hell.
Oh, I am all for it. So I am an absolute pro at this. My thing is, for a night out, the way to last is that you go to one bar. Awesome. Take your heels off the minute you're trying to walk to another bar. Go around the sneaky corner. Take them off. Get to the bar. Corner again. Chuck them straight back on. Do it the whole night.
That's genius.
So, Ellie, are you finding, when you say go to corner, are you finding seating? Like, I do walk into places and I go and beeline for a couch or a seat so I don't have to stand.
Look, if you take them off and you're doing a decent walk barefoot, you'll be fine. You don't even need to sit down. But if you want to, I mean, you'll last the rest of the night too. You could probably last
tip.
Tomorrow.
It's a great tip, Ellie.
And I'm not a fashionista.
A fashionista?
That's the one.
you're not a couple of fashionistas?
I'm not a fashionista. But I have no issues with any female that goes out and just wears a bloody pair of Aussie thongs.
Yeah.
Just go out and wear a thong.
I'm a flat
so they're
girl.
Males are very lucky. We can wear runners, we can wear Connies, we can go out with whatever we want. And it's perceived that girls have to wear with their dress a nice pair of heels.
No need.
No, they don't.
Yeah, but then
just wear your nice
flats.
We
hear that at Ellen Gates our calves and you guys like the look of a calf when it's got that.
I'd rather you be comfortable than you be uncomfortable
you
for the night. No, but it's always the way. You get to the end of the night and it was like, oh, my feet are sore. Hey, just put some thongs on. We're happy. Let's have a good night.
Didn't ask you to wear the heels. Yeah.
Gee, Alex, lucky having you, Fev. Laura Ann in Coburg. Hi, Laura Ann.
There she is.
Good morning, guys.
Have you been in heel hell?
I have. Now, I'm an avid believer of leaving the shoes on, but I was on this season of The Bachelor
with
Maddie Day.
This is our celebrity caller.
Oh, Laura Ann. Maddie Jane passed up and should have picked you.
That's right.
I know. I'm the one of the Melbourne rejects, but that's okay.
Oh, that's all right. You should have hit him with your heel. Oh, no, you should have.
Yeah, I should have thrown it at him whilst I'm accepting the rose. No. That's fine.
So, Laura Ann, tell us, was this an incident with a heel on the set of The Bachelor?
Absolutely. So we were in our heels all day long throughout the cocktail party, and then we're standing there for a very long time during the rose ceremony. Oh. And we just couldn't deal with it. So some of us just took our heels off, threw it behind us, and just stood there with no shoes on our tippy toes. Because TV would have seen that we'd probably, shrunk a few inches.
That's great.
Hey, if I was Laura, I'd have said, stuff the rose, I'm going to have a champagne, and going to put some thongs on.
Yeah.
I was almost getting there. I'm like, mate, this pain is excruciating. I'm about to walk out because I can't deal standing there any longer.
See, Laura, and it's funny you say that because sometimes I think the girls are smiling as they leave. And I'm like, but it's you've just been rejected. But now I get it. No, you just wanted out of there.
He wanted out.
Fifi, Feb and Byron.
The media is an interesting place to work at the moment. And the climate, yeah, I think there's lots of nervous people around. Now, I walked in this morning and I got told two things by executive producer Leon. This is about 5 o'clock this morning, where I went, what? What do you mean? Now, one of those things was that long-running US Today host, so the equivalent of Carl or Koshy over in the US, Matt Lauer, who I've been watching since I was a kid hosting these shows, he's been sacked, fired from his job. He's held that job for, I'm guessing 2 decades.
And he was on air
after
yesterday.
A colleague complained of sexual harassment. This is reportedly an incident at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Yeah, Fev, on air one day. Off the next.
I actually just watched the start of the show on Twitter where the two ladies were, his co-host has been co-host for a long time, and they just got told.
They'd be in more shock than we are. No, that's a US example, but I think most people who've woken up this morning have heard these allegations against Oscar-winning Australian actor Geoffrey Rush. Now, when I heard that, I went, no, come on, what? Now, this is an interesting one, and I don't know how to say this, because I'm coming at this without bias and without any knowledge of a situation, but there's a couple of things that strike me about this. One, that Geoffrey has obviously denied these allegations, but also he's been given absolutely no information. So he's been accused of inappropriate behaviour during a recent production of King Lear at the Sydney Theatre Company. Now, his spokesperson has said Mr. Rush has not been approached by the Sydney Theatre Company about the alleged complaint, nor any representative. So nobody's contacted him. And furthermore, he's not been informed by anyone of the nature of the complaint and what it involves. Now, I am not going to comment on whatever this allegation is because nobody's being told. Yeah. But why is this being played out in the media? Why is Geoffrey on the front page of the Daily Telegraph hung, drawn and quartered, and nobody knows what's going on, let alone Geoffrey doesn't know what's going on?
The person who has made these allegations, they've remained anonymous.
So what, and I just think we've got this arse about, honestly, Australia, or the world maybe. You've got an incident over in the US, Matt Lauer, there is an incident, it's been named, he's aware of it and he's been fired. Geoffrey is having his name dragged through every news source this morning, being called all sorts of things because of this alleged incident that he doesn't even know. Nobody's telling him what it is. And I don't know how this is going to play out, but it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, innocent or guilty of any conduct, there's a better way of it being played out in a more fair way than by public persecution before you've even had a chance to be tried.
Yeah, you're right, Poxy. And I think with our Australian media, they print a lot of stuff that's not true, which we've all been involved in. But when it's this serious and this could end his career,
Absolutely. And
get stripped of his Australia year, if he has done something, we don't know what's happened because they just say allegations.
Well, we know nothing.
But you'd think that it'd have to be rock solid what they know to have to have printed that information. We don't know. and it'll probably come out in the wash or might not, but to and print that because...
It's on the cover of the paper.
Especially after the Rebel Wilson stuff, how she took Fairfax to...
It wasn't Fairfax, it was the owners of Women's Weekly.
Women's Weekly.
Bauer Media.
She's taken... They'd have to think, this could happen to us. So they'd have to have rock-solid information.
Well, the interesting thing is, though, Fev, even if they do, so even if what is being suggested is true, there's still a way of doing it
100%.
that isn't backwards and the wrong way around because these, I don't know. Again, we can't even comment on it because we have no details.
No.
But I bet there's a lot of nervous men in the industry at the moment thinking, what have I done? Who have I worked with? Who misconstrued something I said? And you know, I guess we're going to keep waking up to these stories every day at the moment.
100%.
Fifi, Fev and Byron, 101.9, The Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Kris Jenner has splashed out a cool, what's £7.5 million, Fev?
It's about 20 mil.
Woo! Kris Jenner, matriarch of the Kardashians, has spent about 20 mil buying a house opposite Kim and Kanye.
Hang on.
Look at that. Living
it's a bit family compound-ish.
Well, sorry, what?
She's living across the road from Kim and Kanye and the kids.
No.
Very Everybody Loves Raymond style. Mm. Now, you see, you say no. Now, I've got a confession to make.
That's the Everybody Loves Raymond theme,
what
if you
want.
What
a great show that was. What a great show. So, my mum will be moving in to the house across the road from me.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, it's Byron. Funny.
Yeah.
Of course she knows.
But now I know you scoff and you go, that's too close. You can't have your mum that close. But in defence of even Kris Jenner, see, I love my mum, which is great.
We all do.
It's a good place to start.
We all love our mums.
It's not personal.
But I love, be able to chat. She can pop over for a cup of sugar.
Babysitter.
Well, you said it, didn't you? I mean, can I be honest? If anyone with kids, if you can have your parents living anywhere nearby, I mean, my dad's only a few blocks away. It's actually perfect. It's just babysitters galore.
Right.
Mum has already said that, though. She said, but I don't want that to be abused. That, you know, I'm like, no. Are you kidding?
Well, you're moving across the road. It's going to be abused.
But the funny thing is, I'm actually rapt about it, and I think this is a perfect setup. Keep family together. I'm really into family. And I love the fact that mum will be living there. But I do get lots of people go, are you sure about this? And I'm wondering, on 131060, does anyone have any stories of maybe this doesn't necessarily play out well? How badly can it go? Do your parents live near you?
I have no rapport with this boxy, this segment. I have my family spread all over Melbourne. Jace is in Somerville, mum's in Werribee, dad's in Kilmore. Nice. He's the furthest away.
He's way away, Ange.
Yeah, but hang on, I feel for Ange because Ange moved to be closer to you in Yarrawonga.
That is a true story,
and then
boxy.
You moved.
I don't know if I've told you this, Byron, but dad lived in Pakenham, where you reside now, and he used to drive 7 hours to Yarrawonga and back.
To watch
you play footy. So he goes, let's move to Kilmore because it's sort of halfway. The next week, I said, I'm leaving Yarrawonga, Dad. I'm going back to Melbourne.
Poor bloke
stuck in Kilmore.
I'd be flat. Anyway, 131060.
With Brad's mum at the bakery.
Already, our digital guy, Brad Guy. There's a lovely bakery there in Kilmore. Fief, we'll come back to some calls. I don't know if this will be a warning for you at your situation.
Well, I think it's too late. The deal is done. Mum's moving in.
Yeah, but up the rent.
But it could be lessons, like things
sure.
I could learn.
What to watch
Double
out for.
What to watch
Double
out
the rent
for.
On Pearl.
Good stuff. I think Pearl bought the house, not Fief. 131060 is the number.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
I'll never get the chance to say this, really, because I don't. But for once, I relate to the Kardashians. Kris Jenner is moving in across the road from Kim and Kanye. And I'm about to go through that. Mum's about to move in across the road from me, which I'm rapt about, but I have had lots of people go, are you sure that's not too close to have family? There's lots of drop-ins. Mm. There's zero privacy. My mum is already, as you both know, she's quite involved in the decisions I make in my life.
Very involved.
So it's probably bringing it. But anyway, I'm at this moment thinking, this is a great thing. And let's be honest, always handy to have babysitters around.
Always.
Maybe it doesn't work out. Maybe it hasn't worked out for you or you've got some tips.
Rebecca in Bond
Beach.
Warming up there.
Are you there, Rebecca?
Yes, I am.
Do your parents live near you?
We actually have a block of units. So I've got mum and dad in the first unit.
Yeah.
Then I've got my sister and her partner. And then it's me, my husband and our kids. So we have babysitter galore.
That is... See, Beck, I actually love that. I think I'd like to live in a commune. I'd love all my family around
me. It's almost like
that.
A cult.
Cult.
What, Rebecca, any downside to it? Is it too close?
There's really no downside. So we all work full time. My sister doesn't have kids yet. She is pregnant, so she's kind of ruining it for me at the moment. But we work full time, so I can leave first thing in the morning. Mum's there. She's walking down. There she is. Babysitter's there.
Are you the first unit or the last unit or the middle?
I'm the third unit. So yeah. We've got a block of five and we've got a couple of people in the back. But they're great too.
A couple of ring-ins.
And I just throw my kids down there too.
Hang on, they're not even related. They're just strangers. Well, that's quite an arrangement. That's working.
That's a wonderful example of how it does work. Thanks for that, Beck. Emma in Pakenham. Hi, Emma.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Emma. Your parents live nearby?
Well, not at the moment, but we used to live in a townhouse block. So we had adjoining townhouses to my parents. It was good. We used to steal their Wi-Fi. We didn't have to buy internet. It was great. And you know, you'd run out of food and you'd just go to mum's and get something out of the pantry.
Parents are the best.
Good deal for Emma, I think.
The best.
I don't know that Emma's parents were getting much out of it.
No, but you're not going to, it's not stealing when it's your parents.
But mum and dad are on the couch, get their Telstra bill. Gee, internet's high this week.
Thank you, Emma.
Caroline in Berwick. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. Are your parents too close for comfort?
Not anymore, but I did live next door to my mother-in-law. She didn't work at all, and so any time we had visitors, she would open the curtains and peek outside and then ask us later on who was coming over, who it was, what we were talking about. It was... terrible.
Of course, Caroline, I just realised, mum will know what time I'm getting home.
Yeah, breaking times. I reckon Caroline's mother-in-law just wanted an invite.
Fifi, Feb and Byron. Fifi, Feb and Byron's Christmas. All I want for Christmas is you.
The show has done this for years now. Emotional reunions between people who haven't seen each other for years. We do it all thanks to Crown. Christmas lights up at Crown. Visit crownmelbourne.com.au for all the details. People have no idea. One person will nominate the other. It's totally unsuspecting. It is a surprise. It's a situation that the show sets up, and you'll hear a lot of these in the next few days on this show, Fifi, Feb and Byron. But what about this one? Last year, a total surprise for long-lost sisters, Ashley and Donna.
Ashley and Donna are sisters. Donna lives in Sydney with her three kids, and Ashley lives here in Melbourne.
They're super close, but they haven't had the money to see each other for 3 years.
So, unbeknownst to Ashley, we secretly flew Donna down to Melbourne.
Okay, so Donna, we've just flown you down from Sydney. Yeah. Now, when was the last time you saw your sister, Ash?
About 3.5 years ago.
Even though Donna and Ashley are sisters, they've only known each other for 7 years. Donna's mum had Donna when she was 15 and gave her up for adoption.
But ever since Donna tracked down her biological sister, Ashley, they've been the best of friends.
You two have this amazing story. You were adopted at birth.
Yes.
Your birth mother was young, a girl herself.
Yes, she was like 15.
So you've reconnected and met in 2009.
Yeah.
Amazing. And you've had this great friendship and become so close.
Yeah.
And Ash has in the last few years had a little boy, Nicholas.
Yes.
And you haven't even met him yet.
No.
So you're going to meet your nephew for the first time.
Donna's sister Ashley works at the Royal Children's Hospital as an Aboriginal care worker. We took Donna to the hospital, and with the help of the awesome hospital staff, we set up a private room for the surprise.
So we're at the hospital where Ash works. They're going to page her. She's going to come down to think she's meeting a family, a client.
Okay.
And
her sister's going to be sitting there.
Okay, so let's sit tight. Let's now go and page Ash.
Okay.
Time for us to hide and watch the reunion unfold.
Warm me up and breathe me. Hold on, hold on, hold on.
Ash, you wanted your sister. We brought you your sister. Oh, you've got girl, you've got
us in tears.
This is so beautiful. Thank you so much. Oh, it's absolutely
special.
I know. And we know that Ash, obviously Donna hasn't met Nicholas, your 2-year-old. No. So you get
nearly.
I know.
Yes.
So beautiful. But it's also just an amazing, your story, Ash, you know, the fact that you only met, and did you only find out that Donna was in your life, in 2009?
Yeah.
And then to bond and get so close. But
instant niece, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it gets better, though, Ash, because you also have the rest of the week off. You don't have to come to work. And
I got the week off from you.
And we've got you a $200 voucher for the Merrywell at Crown, so you can take the family and have the best time there together.
That's
so
amazing.
Enjoy the rest of the week off, and
no,
you get your
awesome.
Sister for another 5 days.
No,
that's
amazing. Thank you so much.
There it is, Missmas, and there will be more of those reunions in the next few shows here with Fifi, Fev and Byron. It's 8:44. Now, Brendan, Fifi's madly getting ready for her live Sunrise Cross, which will be on Channel 7 at 8:50, and we're going to attempt something in the next few minutes that has never before been attempted.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. We're going to broadcast why Fifi is broadcasting on Channel 7 Sunrise with a Koshi.
Oh, yes.
Oh, Fifi, it's been so long.
Look at this.
Oh,
all
my
right.
God. Last time I saw you was on the trampoline.
Okay.
Oh.
She did a lot of bouncing around in the early days on Sunrise. Anyway, I'm sure they'll relive some of that. It's part of their 15th birthday celebrations.
I hope they show her sitting on the tree in the middle of nowhere.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
Okay, they are just wrapping up the commercial break on Channel 7 on Sunrise. This is 101.9 The Fox with Fifi, Fev and Byron. Now, Fifi is about to go on Sunrise, Fev. Should we just cross live to Sunrise here? Let's go live to Sunrise.
Well, riveting at the moment. We're looking at the Adelaide River.
Here we go. Let's patch them in. Here we go.
The Fifi Vox had plenty of fans, but perhaps her most devoted was the hilarious Russell Brand.
Fifi Vox? Then what is your porn name? Where do you go from Fifi Vox?
I want to know.
Do you want to come over there to you?
No, it's okay.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, we can. I'll just be careful of that baby.
Really?
Well, I'm going to sit on a baby.
Oh,
she right put one on me.
Wow. He did.
The visuals of these are disturbing. Oh, boy. I can't believe Russell did that.
You weigh about £6 more than usual.
Dumb. I'm carrying her across the hotel room.
Oh, Fifi joined us now. Fifi, you are as wild as Russell Brand. That was a fantastic moment, wasn't it?
Koshi, Sam, so many great memories. I mean, what an honour it's been to be part of the Sunrise family. And that, though, you know, it's funny because I'd always thought I'll do interviews in a very relaxed, natural way. But after meeting Russell Brand, and I had no idea who he was that first interview, since that interview, every guest I've ever met since, I have a clipboard, I have questions. I'll never be caught like that again. But he's definitely unique. I love that your blooper reel.
She loves it.
She loves it.
Revolves around Russell Brand. Just sitting on top of you.
Of course she's up and about.
Just Russell Brand. I remember and I was just going to say, that interview I did when I was pregnant,
no,
I thought I'm safe now. I'm 6 months pregnant. But unfortunately, no one's safe from Russell at any time.
I love it. All right, now, Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill also had you in stitches. Let's have a look at this one.
Okay. Sky high.
They're pointing guns at
me. Oh, they're pointing guns at me. Oh, she's got her arms up. Oh.
Just making sure you were paying attention.
I know, and then I shaved my underarms.
It looked like Don King under there.
Wow.
It looked like Jackson Five was under there.
You got bugweed sticking out the arm.
Yeah, Tito Jackson under there in a headlock.
Hey, it's hard to interview celebrities, isn't it?
It is. It's so hard, Sam. And look, when you walk in and you think, OK, there's a big A-list Hollywood stars, when they're dressed up as cops, and let's be honest, most women have had dreams of Channing Tatum dressed up as a cop, and then you walk in and there he is like that. Yeah, there's lots of challenges that I think people should remember for interviewing. It's a difficult landscape.
It wasn't all laughs. Your bravery was certainly tested on the weather. Have a look.
I can do this.
Well, what is she doing?
Oh my God.
Well done, Boxy.
That's a motocross.
That was unbelievable.
Nearly hit her in the head.
She's watching herself on TV.
Was your heart in your throat?
Hang on a second, Boxy.
Yeah. Look, when I signed up to be weather presenter for Sunrise, I didn't factor a motorcycle landing on my head. Might happen at any particular point in time. But, no, it's so funny. I think when I signed up, I thought, oh, this will be great. I'll be on the beaches of Noosa, hanging out on the Sunshine Coast. But following in Grant Denyer's footsteps definitely had challenges. I was in monster trucks. Remember, Koshy, when I flipped a car live at the Mud Bash?
We'll just turn it down for a second. At the moment, on the bottom, it says, bravery tested. Two motorbikes zoom above Fifi's head.
At 12 months.
You did so well.
Yeah.
Great.
You were so lovely.
They're just wrapping it up now. That's good stuff. Well, there we go. That was a bit of live TV. That's Boxy on Sunrise on Channel 7 with Koshy and Sam. They're in Adelaide and Boxy's just here next to us. She's got some good back catalogue of work there, Fev.
Yeah, great back catalogue, great interviews. Russell Brand, next level. But Boxy looks great. There she is with little Trixie, still going. Oh, that's when she did a show from home for a year and a half.
That's right, I was on that show. We didn't do a show. There we go. So anyway, that's all on Channel 7 Sunrise to celebrate their 15th anniversary. Good work, Fief. We are out of here.
The Fifi, Fev and Byron catch-up done without compromise. With Upside Realty, they'll sell your home without compromise too. With no commission, just a flat fee of $7,500. There's no better way to sell your home.